This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, we have Chantel Lee from jewellery brand Bauhaus for a Chinese New Year special.
Malay jade is able to sort of simulate that same feeling, but for a much more affordable price. So that was exciting to work with because we've never worked with Malay jade before, and our consumers loved it because they were like, you know what, I can wear something for Chinese New Year that's brand new, that isn't going to cost me thousands and thousands of dollars.
After that, I have Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, as she walks us through the best barrettes and headbands to style your hair with.
It's so easy to feel like you're on trend with this kind of hair accessories. It's so easy to just dress up your look. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, you know, you can just as easily put in a hair clip to like jazz up your face, brightens up your face even.
But before we get to that, here are some fashion headlines. Back in 1989, iconic shoe designer Tinker Hatfield was tasked with designing a shoe of the future. In line with the second installment of the film, Back to the Future.
Power laces, all right.
But it took many years for the self-lacing technology to make its way into reality with the release of actual working self-lacing Nike Max released in 2016. And now using the same concept of the self-lacing technology, Nike has managed to incorporate that idea into their brand new shoe called the Nike Adapt BB. And it's more than just a self-lacing shoe for the lazy peeps. Nike initially released the Nike Hyper Adapt 1.0 in 2017, where the company premiered their adaptive lacing technology for consumers. And now building on that momentum, they have released the brand new Nike Adapt BB using their technology specifically for basketball shoes. According to Eric Avar, the creative director of Innovation VP for the company, they chose basketball as the first spot for this technology intentionally due to high demand that basketball athletes put on their shoes with fast cuts and constant sprints all over the court. They believe that during a normal basketball game, the athlete's foot changes and the ability to quickly change your fit by loosening your shoe to increase blood flow and then tighten again for performance is a key element that will improve the athlete's experience. However, as with most things that are smart these days, users would need to charge their shoes every 10 to 14 days and would need an app on your smartphone to get the perfect customization for your fit, although the shoes work without a phone as well. While we're on the technology tip of things, Ralph Lauren has released the Polo 11, their first app control heated jacket, which, like the Nike Adapt BB, gives users the option to customize their jacket heat setting with their smartphones. This technology saw its debut at the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, Korea, where Team USA were equipped with the Ralph Lauren jacket's cutting-edge technology that were heated with special silver ink that distributes heat throughout the jacket, connected to a battery pack that warms each user to customizable specifications. The new Polo 11 jacket that's finally available for consumers this year are now equipped with Bluetooth-controlled heating technology that's sewn into the jacket, allowing users to set the specific temperature desired, controlled through the Ralph Lauren heating app on your smartphone. Now, once again, the jacket has a battery pack that requires charging every now and then, but hey, at least Ralph Lauren's heating app provides weather reports as well. While most people pick earrings, necklaces, and bracelets to complement their clothes, the sisters of Bauhaus do the opposite. Founded in 2010 by Chantel and Elizabeth Lee, Bauhaus combines the best elements of traditional culture and weaves together beautiful pieces of jewelry. With many years of traveling under their belt, along with a constant connection with their past, their products call back to many songs, stories, and films that we all grew up with. Elizabeth joined me on the show back in 2015 and talked about Bauhaus' various inspirations and creative techniques. This week, however, it's her sister and co-founder Chantel Lee who tells us about what Bauhaus has in store for this upcoming Chinese New Year. Well, Omaimin, it's been a while since we had you and your sister Elizabeth on the show. I see you have been busy with work and travelling as well.
It's been a while. You reminded me it was 2005 we were on together. But no, it's been good. A lot has happened for Bauhaus, and I can't wait to share with you what we've been up to.
So tell us, what has Bauhaus been up to since the last you came on, since 2015?
2015. I'm just thinking now. So we would have had 2 retail stores. We still have the retail stores. I don't even know if we talked about the retail stores last time we were on. Yeah. So we actually have 2 stores, one in Publica and one in Garden. So that's been a big change for us. We originally started as an online business and we were focusing really purely on wholesale. So we were actually selling to other stores who were then selling for us. We decided when Elizabeth moved back to Kuala Lumpur to open up our first store, which was Gardens. And with the success of that, then we opened a second, which was in Publica. And that's been really rewarding for us because I think our customers were able to see our products in the flesh. A lot of people still purchase online. Online is probably our core. But the retail side has definitely been exciting.
So apart from, you know, retail store, having 2 retail stores since then, you know, what else have you been, in terms of new collections?
We've always been focused on doing a yearly collection. That's when we first started Bauhaus. I think we only came out with like 2 collections a year. Now, I think consumers want things so quickly. There's a need for new. There is definitely this new, I need it now. I want something new. I want something fresh. We still do our yearly collection, but we probably come up with about 5 smaller collections throughout the year. So that's something that's been very new for us. You know, when a collection comes out, before we could wait 3 or 4 months before we even started to think about, you know, the next collection. And I think now, for designers, there is this stress. It's like, I finished it. There's this bittersweet moment for Lizzie and I. Whenever we shoot a collection, it's almost like that's the end. We don't even think about the on-sell, like, you know, selling it, because we have to start thinking about the next collection. It is that quick. Sometimes we're actually creating 2 or 3 collections at the same time. A lot of designers out there are definitely facing this, you know, consumption stress. I call it that, because when you finish something, it's, you know, there's no moment to just relax and enjoy. It's like everyone's like, oh, I've seen that new collection. When are you coming out with your next collection? It's like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, now we're in Chinese New Year mode and all that. But for designers right now, we're really stressed about Raya. You know, we're trying to close and finish Raya with the next thing that, you know, we have to.
It sounds
release.
So busy. I mean,
it is like, really, really busy.
How do you juggle? You have your family, you have your kids, you have this business, you have the retail store.
I think you just have to adapt, I think, with business, especially with smaller businesses. Being able to make changes quickly is the key to be able to survive. And, you know, Malaysia, I think for a lot of retailers out there, there's been a downturn and it's how do you react? You know, people don't have as much money. You've got to come out with cheaper products. You've got to be able to adapt. You know, people still want to buy things, but maybe they don't have the spending power that they did 2 or 3 years ago.
Then what about the designs? You know, how has it changed since a few years ago till
today? When we first started, the designs were a lot cleaner. They were a lot more pure. They were, I want to say basic. I don't want to say the word basic, but they definitely were. Lizzie was making everything at the beginning. So we didn't have a lot of money when we started. So we were doing things just with the materials that we could afford to work with. Like 2010 is when we started Bauhaus to now 2018. We have our own hardware. We have our own logos. We have our own different intricate settings that we are now able to work with. And we're definitely working with different manufacturers in terms of coming up with our own unique hardware. And I think that's the difference from the beginning to now.
So previously you drew inspiration from vintage materials, you know, like your father's coin collection. I mean, is it still the same now or how has that changed?
I think at the core of it all, our parents still, they're still there at the back of our mind. You know, they love to travel and that has inspired a lot of our collections, is places that we visited to, that we've gone and then we've come home and Lizzie and I, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just really loved, you know, that floor tile and we should use those colours and things like that. Or seeing women on the street wearing a certain piece and we're like, that's just gorgeous. Vintage pieces will always be a key to our collection. But in terms of our original pearls was a love of our mother, and Bauhaus still, I think when most consumers think about Bauhaus, they always think of pearls. It's always there. There's always, you might not even notice it, but it might be like a tiny freshwater pearl hanging off a charm. So it's still there. There's the beginning elements of Bauhaus in 2010 are still present today.
Keeping the signature of
the
brand.
We are still keeping the signature in the terms of timeless pieces. The whole brand was really my mom, myself and my sister. if we, the three of us, could wear that piece of jewelry, then that was a Bauhaus piece. So it's kind of different ages can wear the same kind of jewelry. And what we realized between the three of us was it was always the simpler pieces that we were always drawn to. So that is kind of the core of Bauhaus. If you look at our pieces, there's definitely like a sort of, there's an intricate simplicity mm-hmm. in all of the pieces. It's something that you could share with many, many girlfriends and you could all wear it.
Wow, lovely, lovely story. The last time, you know, when we interviewed you in 2015, you guys had future plans of possibly venturing into designing jewelry that, you know, would complement clothing lines like Miss Reed, you know.
Yes,
how has that been coming
along?
We did
do that. We actually did collaborate with them, with Dee Dee. I think jewelry and fashion, you know, and clothing just is
perfect match.
It always, you have to. I mean, you don't leave the house naked. You. I think for girls, you know, you get dressed first and then you pick your accessories.
Correct.
But for us, like for Lizzie and I, it's like the accessories first.
What?
And then the outfit. Yeah.
No, so, I mean, you have different occasions to attend to, you know.
Yes. So like if you're going to a ball, you're going to think, I think earrings first. What earrings am I going to wear? And then, you know, is that going to go with the dress? For me, I always work backward with my accessories first, because sometimes I might have a beautiful like choker necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And for a dress, it might have to be strapless so that you can appreciate that choker. So you have to decide which is the most important thing that you want to show when you're getting dressed.
Now let's talk more about your designs, you know, and let's start off with your most recent collection, mm-hmm. The Joy Luck Club collection. Tell me more about this new collection.
Okay, so Joy Luck Club was actually last year's Chinese New Year collection, mm-hmm. and then this year's Chinese New Year collection was the Songbird collection. Mm-hmm. And it was, both collections actually are sort of a nod back to, you know, 1920s sort of Shanghai.
That feel.
My sister and I, we both grew up loving listening to like old, you know, records that our parents would play to us. And on the records, there were always these beautiful pictures of girls with those pin curls, beautiful high neck chongsums. And it was always about either short necklaces or long necklaces and mm-hmm. beautiful earrings. So for Joy Luck Club, we really focused on rings for that collection. It was all about, you know, girls playing mahjong and them sitting around the table. So the focus was really rings and bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
And using Malay jade, which is actually a lot more affordable than jade, because jade, something that I don't think is really affordable to the masses. So we worked with Malay jade.
What is Malay jade?
Malay jade is basically like an agate that they are using and changing the color of it to bring it into this almost jade-like state.
Right.
Yeah. So it's still a natural gemstone, but they work with colors to make it have these lines in them. It's the things that we're drawn to with jade. Malay jade is able to sort of simulate that same feeling, but for a much more affordable price. So that was exciting to work with, because we've never worked with Malay jade before. And our consumers loved it, because they were like, you know what, I can wear something for Chinese New Year that's brand new, mm-hmm. that isn't going to cost me thousands and thousands of dollars, but it's the same feeling. And I think jewelry and accessories especially should make you feel that feeling of opulence. That's right. What you want to feel. And you don't have to tell your girlfriends like how much it costs. You know, I wear pieces and people are like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Is that Bauhaus? I'm like, it's Bauhaus. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can go online and I can see how much it is and I can afford it. And that's what Bauhaus has always been about. It's about affordable pieces that are timeless.
So shortly after Joy Luck Club, which was last year, you know, you came with the Songbird, which was mentioned, you know, I mean, I love the collection. So tell me the inspiration for the Songbird collection itself, and how different is Songbird compared to Joy Luck Club?
Okay. So Joy Luck Club, you know, it is named after the movie that we love, The Joy Luck Club. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure a lot of people have. Mahjong was definitely a big part of that film, and the women there, it was different generations of women. And that part of that resonated with Lizzie and I, because it's like my grandmother, my mother, myself, my sister, jewelry that would, you know, speak across different generations. I think that was Joy Luck Club.
Mm-hmm.
This time round for Songbird collection, we did have a heavy focus on earrings. There was like a big return back to those vintage posters in the Shanghai times. We introduced a beautiful Pave B.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely the signature for this collection. And everyone's like obsessed with the B necklaces and the B earrings and the B bracelet. I think the B, it represents a lot of
you know, growth and new life. And we wanted that feeling for Chinese New Year because I think it kind of complements that. Mm-hmm. You know, bees go around and they, you know, pollinate and they bring new life. And we just thought that was a really great connection for Chinese New Year. What binds both collections together is probably our muse for the collection, which is we use this girl called Joyce. She's based in Kuching. She's a singer. Mm-hmm. And she just plays the most beautiful guitar music. And that connection comes from my dad. My dad plays the guitar all the time. So my sister and I have grown up listening to play guitar. He still plays guitar like every day today. Mm-hmm. And that's something that a song that is constantly being played in the house, you know, that sound. And we definitely wanted that in our Chinese New Year collection. So we will continue working with Joyce. Every year she kind of releases a new sort of nod back to the old Chinese New Year classics. Mm-hmm. When she does our collections for us.
So moving away from your usual neutral coloured designs, you know, your Mambo Italiano collection, you know, consists of a lot of vibrant and, you know, fresh and summer colours. What was the inspiration behind this collection?
So Capri was definitely an inspiration. My sister and I, my whole family actually, we went for a wedding in Capri and we were just blown away by the colours and we were blown away by just the sparkle of Capri, the Italian feeling of love and the vibrancy. So that, I think it took us nearly 2 years really before the collection came out after that travel, but it just haunted us. I think when a country haunts you so much, you just keep, it just keeps coming back to you and you're like, I need to do something with that. Like I need to create something from that feeling.
Right.
So that's how Mambo Italiano was created. So we worked with really bright gemstones and it's almost like a gradient of colours. And that was the first collection that we actually removed pearls. So it was the first time that we were like, you know what, we're going to just work with gemstones. And of course our customers came back and they were like, where are the pearls? So we were like, okay, we have the same design but all in freshwater pearls. But for the majority of the line, it's actually all just coloured gemstones.
Wow, yeah. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
What about Castaway?
Okay, Castaway was a really interesting one. That was inspired by the nets. So for pearls, you know, they have these huge nets that, you know, pick up the oyster shells.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to see. The net just haunted us. Lizzie and I have always been talking about, like, we should do something with nets. Nets, nets. And we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it just disappears. And then a year later, it'll come back. It's like, what about the nets? We should do something with the nets. So that took our team in the workshop, like, probably 6 months to be able to work the technique. So we started with like thicker ropes. And then I was like, it's too thick. We need to go thinner. Then we got into threads. And then I was like, it's still not thin enough. And then we get to the finest thread. And they're like, the girls in the workshop were just like, I don't want to make another macrame net. Like, we're not going to get it. And I'm like, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. So it took us nearly 6 months to really be happy with the final design. And we basically was, it was just trying to, how do you get a pearl in a threaded net? How do you do that? And we figured it out in the end. And then from that stemmed the entire collection. Yeah,
wow.
Just from one idea.
So are we talking about dangly earrings?
We had earrings, we had necklaces, we had bracelets, but really thin and delicate. So we were using fishing line. So the actual, we were using net, the actual cord that they use for fishing nets. That was the hard part.
Because
that
must really be a nightmare for you.
It was really a nightmare because at the beginning we were like, oh, it would be, it's so easy. It's so easy. Like they can make big fishing nets. Yes, you can make big fishing nets. But like when you shrink it right down to just hold pearl, it's another story. But we did it in the end. And I think that was one collection where the whole workshop just wanted to give up. And I was, and there was a point where people were like, it's so ugly. And I'm like, yes, this is ugly that you've made, but we're going to make it beautiful.
Aww.
And then we tried, you know, putting little pearls between the nets. And, you know, it's really fun in the experimental phase. What's sad, though, is how a lot of it gets lost in the final collection.
Because, how come?
Because sometimes, you know, it might look beautiful at that time, but then as a team, when we're all looking at it, we're like, I don't think the consumer's going to like it. I'm like, one person might like it. There's beauty that one person might see, but once you finalize it and take it, you know,
to the
next level, and you've got to think about it in the mass. And also time. Sometimes something is super, super beautiful, but it might take like an artisan to make, it could take them like a week to make it. And then would a consumer pay for that? No.
I could imagine it looks and it feels so intricate, you know,
and
to make
simple.
This.
And it's simple. Like when you look at it, you're just like, oh, it's a pearl and a net. Yes. But because of that, what was interesting about Castaway, I'll just leave it like on the last note, was that you were able to customize the threads. So there's like 16 threads. We could do 16 colors. So like, these are things that we are able to do, and our customers love that.
And
so
will it take hours?
It still took hours and hours to make, but you can, if you can think of it, we can make it. So that was the fun part about it.
Now, I know looking through your website, you know, you have a wide range of designs. You know, when it comes to jewelry, is it difficult to decide if you want an earring to be tassels or drop, or if you want a chain necklace to be long and delicate or with a pendant? You know, how do you go about in deciding which styles works best for, you know, which collection?
I think we were talking about fashion before. Mm-hmm. Fashion definitely plays a part for us, and we think about, okay, what's hot right now in the season? Is it plunging necklines? Is it no necklines? Is it skivvies? Is earrings the focus for the season? So we definitely do follow fashion and see what's happening. Mm-hmm. So definitely if you look at our collection, sometimes it's earring focused, or sometimes it's more necklace focused. It is trend driven in that sense. We do like to see what's going on. But then sometimes we just have collections where it might just be for every day, like right. something that you need every day. So it's a lot more simple, the designs. So it definitely, for collections, what do we think about? I think we think about everybody. That's a given. So we do have something for everybody in every collection, but mm-hmm. there's always a hero product. There's always something that you're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But then the consumer always goes home with the piece that might be a little bit more simple
yeah.
from that. Yeah. But then there are people that just want that hero piece. So for us, I think everybody's taken into consideration, but what is happening and what's hot right now is also something that we think about.
So with the amount of wide range of jewelry that you have designed, which is the most sellable at, you know, and which one sold out fast?
Bracelets are our number one seller. And I think it's because not everyone has their ears pierced. That's one thing. And second, it's a no-brainer. I say that because, like, you put a bracelet on and it's like, I love it, or like, I don't love it. Like, it's straight away, you just know. And for a consumer, I think it's like the easiest thing to buy and feel good about yourself instantly. And the size as well. Like, everyone's wrists are kind of like the same size.
Now, Chantel, you know, you have your own collection, which is named after yourself,
yeah,
you know. And I see a lot of crystals and pearls mixed with gold and silver as well. Tell me more about the self-titled collection.
Okay, I think that day was the day when we were just running out of ideas, to be totally honest. Like, what are we going to name this collection? And I was like, how about the Chantel collection? Lizzie's like, okay.
So does Lizzie have her own collection?
She will have her own collection eventually. Like, again, another day. I know creators, I mean, the creative process is such a weird process, but there are days where you're just like, why did I name it after myself? I think it was really because it was a very simple design, and it was mm-hmm. something that was wearable no matter what, like, time of day. If you're going out in the morning, a cocktail party, you're going to a ball, you could wear the Chantel earrings or the necklace. It was a design that I just thought was a universal. And I think I'm like that. I'm very adaptable. Like, I can, you know, adapt to any situation. And maybe that's why that collection kind of I resonated with it. So I was like, I'm happy to put my name onto that because
Since you like earrings, is it all earrings for your collection?
The Chantel collection actually is just one earring, one necklace and one bracelet. It's a standard design, but basically what it is it's just, you know, gemstones or freshwater pearls that are linked. And it's got really great movement. Those mm-hmm. pieces have very, very good movement with them. So they kind of like swing. They swing with the air. And when you walk, it's definitely got great movement.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to check it out
now.
It is. It is. It's a really, really easy to wear collection.
Now, you know, the price points of the jewelry are comparatively lower than other jewelry brands because you eliminate the added markup cost by removing the middleman. So as you directly source and select materials yourself, I know your pearls are from Borneo, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you go about choosing where to source, from whom to source, and how to compromise the price tag?
I think the number one thing is quality. That's our first thing that we're always looking for. So we source in Borneo. We also source in China. We also source from Australia. Our stones come actually from all around the world. Mm-hmm. So there's not one spot in the world where all of our materials come from. So I have to say, globally, we look for our materials. We look for quality and then we look for price. Right. So quality is definitely the number one thing for us. And then second would be price. sometimes we have to pay a lot more, but we charge less to the consumer. It depends. And also trends, because sometimes Baroque pearls are really in trend and
yeah.
everybody wants it and then it's expensive to get. And then what we like to do is then look at the other pearls that have been neglected perhaps at that time. And that mm-hmm. is why we're able to have that, you know, price point that we have, because we're working with probably pearls. We call them rebel pearls because no two pearl is the same.
Yeah.
It is a known fact that everybody is obsessed with perfect, round, flawless pearls, and they are the ones that are the most expensive. We don't work with those pearls because, again, the price point is not what our consumers are looking for. So we look for pearls that they're beautiful and we say that they're really, really unique. And I think the reason why we can bring the price down is because we're always looking to pearls that maybe aren't the attention focus of what is on trend at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah.
So a lot of thought and a lot of time has been put into
it. It is, and it takes a lot of the pearls that we actually work with may have been a year or a year and yeah. a half that we have not released yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because sometimes we'll buy pearls and we'll sit on them, we're thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then all of a sudden that pearl shape might be really hot. Like I was saying, like yeah, Baroque yeah. or like log pearls or the shape, like people might like really, really oval shaped. And we'll look at our stock and be like, oh my gosh, we did do a buy like 3 years ago. That's the beauty of working with a non-perishable item. You know, it can sit for quite a long time and we can return to it. So there's no rush for us, which is wonderful. But in saying that, it is hard because we may only have, you know, 200 or 300 strands of that one kind of pearl. We won't have that pearl again.
Mm-hmm.
So it will never return back. So when we can do in the design that we may have designed in 2010 when we started, but that one pearl that might be in that necklace, it will never be the same. And I think girlfriends like that because they can buy the same necklace, but no two are the same.
Yeah, yeah. I
the
know.
The design is
it's
there.
Not identical.
They're not identical. They never will be identical.
Now, let's talk about you and Lizzie. I mean, in terms of like working in a business together and being a family as well. Mm-hmm. So how do you both compromise in terms of disagreements and, you know, I like this design. No, I don't think, you know. I mean, how do you guys work it out?
Okay, so first and foremost, like Lizzie and I have like the strongest sister relationship you've ever seen.
Yes.
Like we are so close. I think that's probably the key is that I just adore her. So I just... That's probably one part of the business side as well, is that she brings to Bauer House something that I don't bring. So we respect each other in that sense. Lizzie mm-hmm. really, she's the entrepreneur in sense of like retail. Like she loves selling and she's also like a trendsetter, I feel, with her. Like she always knows what's going to be the next big thing. Like mm-hmm. she will tell me like 6 months in advance, chokers are really in, we need to do chokers. And I'm like, I hate chokers. Who is going to wear a choker? And then, you know, all of a sudden you see like Hailey Baldwin wearing a choker. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's 100% right. Like she knows what she's talking about. Lizzie and I have a very clear division in our work, like what we do, because I'm based in Kuching and she's based here in KL. We have to like respect each other's strengths and also because geographically we're not in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
We disagree, but I think the beauty about being sisters is that you get over it like so quickly and we're able to be so honest with each other, which might not work in any other situation. Like we can just say it really, really quickly and... It's out in the open and there's no fear. I think mm-hmm. that's probably the beauty about being sisters is that you have no fear in your honesty. You just say it. And we both, you know, we move on from it. So if we don't like it, then we go to the next thing.
That's a good advice for a
yeah,
lot of
I
people.
Yeah, I think you just have to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it works. Yeah.
All right. So what's the future for the brand?
I don't want to say we're going to be doing more collections because I think ready now we're like, oh my gosh.
What's your next collection?
I know. That's the question. Everyone's like, what are you doing next? What are you going to do next? It's like, can we just appreciate what we've done now? Like, can we just live in the now moment?
Mm-hmm.
I think we will definitely be doing more collaborations. I think that's something that we love doing because we love working with other people, like-minded brands. Collaborations are always something that we love to do. Local brands and maybe more brands overseas, I don't know. We do have a heavy focus in Australia and Malaysia. Australia more so, actually. Malaysia is our secondary, but Australia is like our first market.
Mm-hmm.
The brand was started in Australia, so I think there's a following there. We'd like to, you know, maybe go into Europe, maybe going to America, but at our own pace. I think for Lizzie and I, we're both mums. That's our number one focus, is making sure the family's okay. And mm-hmm. then our work family, because, you know, we've got, you know, quite a lot of staff now. It's just not the two of us. And just, I think growing slowly. I think the word slow is like the key to it.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, slowly but surely. But we don't have plans to be like this huge mega company. I think for Lizzie and I, it's just being able to create and getting the joy out of that. We're both designers. We're both graphic designers. That was what we studied at university.
Now that you have two stores, do you plan to have more stores in Malaysia?
We do. We will be opening our flagship in Kuching, where everything is made. And that's coming soon. I don't want to even give a date to that because it's
A month, maybe?
No, yeah, like, yeah.
Mid-year?
I don't know. It'll be, let's just say it'll be definitely within the next 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is a passion project that we're working on, and that's probably like the next big thing for Bauer House.
That was Chantelle Lee from Bauer House telling us all about her CNY collections. Now stay tuned because coming up next is Florence Song's stylist at Zalora discussing the recent return of hair accessories in modern fashion. But before that, here's Yao Li with Mei Gui Mei Gui Wo Ai Ni, which means Rose Rose, I Love You. This is Stylefile and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Stylefile. If you like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, explains how you can adorn your hair with barrettes and headbands to complement your outfits. We don't really talk a lot about hair accessories, but this time, tell us more.
You know, in 2018, hair accessories were pretty much the big thing. They were all over, you know, the hits of influencers, It Girls, and even the runways. We had the scrunchie revival last year.
Yes, the Balenciaga scrunchie.
Yeah, all the scrunchies, you know, the velvet scrunchies and everything. And now the spotlight for 2019, it's moving towards hair clips and also headbands. I mean, to be fair, hair accessories never really went out of style. They've always sort of been around, always lurking in the background and afterthought even. But recently, there's been a renaissance of sorts that kind of skyrocketed these kind of beauty staples back onto our feet. So, I mean, just scroll on Instagram and everything and you will see the focus is on, you know, claw clips, hair bows, silk ribbons, everything that's jewelry for the hair.
So when and why do you think that, you know, people start realizing this is a trend that you could accessorize?
I think it's sort of like a revival of the 90s nostalgia, sort of with everything else that came, all the other trends that came back.
Evita Peroni.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, just hair accessories were just one of it. It's so easy to feel like you're on trend with this kind of hair accessories. It's so easy to just dress up your look. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, you know, you can just as easily put in a hair clip to like jazz up your face, brightens up your face even.
So how would you style it?
If we're talking about hair bands, I would say one of the ways to wear a hair band right now to make it look more current is to actually match your headband color to your outfit. So, you know, coordinating a headband to like an accented color in your ensemble can, you know, pull your look together, for example. Or if, you know, your look is comprised of solids or a classic print, just kind of clash it with like an eye-catching bolt headband instead. And then if, you know, you're wearing a very basic casual outfit or like something like a holiday outfit, a chic head wrap can just make your hair just look good or pulled together in an instant. And for example, pins, I would say just go for, you know, pearls, pearl accented pins, or, you know, metallic pins in very modern, very minimal designs, just slipped near the hairline and it can really dress up your look.
Do you think this is a particular trend that you would invest in?
I would invest in it, but I would invest mostly in the delicate hairpins, the metallic hairpins, because they're more versatile. And I would also invest in like the pearl hairpins because those you can always use for dinners. You can always wear it to, you know, an evening wear. You can even use it for parties. And it's a very classy kind of design that you can use even as the trend goes out of style.
So what are the signature trends that are popular at the moment?
Definitely the pearl pins and also the minimalist kind of metallic designs. So something very minimal, sort of like what you saw on JW Anderson on the Spring Summer 19 runways. It's like sort of a chain-trimmed twisted hair clip that's done in gold and done in silver. It's actually polished silver plated brass. So that's the kind of like pins that you can pair it with your workwear, you can pair it with a casual outfit, or you can even wear it with an evening look.
If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Don't forget, we are also available on Spotify. That's BFM 89.9. If you want to be in touch with me, you can tweet me at BFM Radio or @LynnCSK. Now, before we go, here's Endless Love by Lynn Dai. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM
89.9. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.